T-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators hosting the Vancouver Canucks tonight at 7. Pre-game starts right after our program at 6. As always, right here on 102.5 The Game. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us at the top of the next hour. Also be listening, Vols fans, if you want to attend the Volunteers Baseball Intra-Squad Scrimmage coming up this weekend. We have tickets to give away for that, so be listening for the cue to call, and you can win a pair of tickets, a four-pack of tickets, I should say, to the Tennessee Baseball Intra-Squad game at First Horizon Park this Sunday at 1 o'clock. But, guys, there may not be a player, a Titans player, past or present, whose voice carries more weight than Eddie George. I am partial to Derek Mason. Mm-hmm. But Derek Mason also knows that Eddie George's voice carries a lot of weight.
Absolutely.
He is a franchise legend. So when he says something critical of the organization, it matters. Eddie did an interview with Mike Organ, a.k.a. The Grinder, at the Tennessean. And Mike asked Eddie, among other things, about the state of the Titans. He said, quote, "I'm sad to see Brian Callahan get fired. Being in this profession, I know how hard it is to win and try to build something. I don't know if he was given the proper time to do that. It's a results business, and they didn't think it was the right fit." Organ writes, "George fears the Titans have put themselves in a hole that continues to get bigger with each firing, which also included Mike Vrabel as coach in 2023 and two general managers over the last 4 years. He believes it has set the franchise back, quote, at least a decade and maybe more," end quote.
Wow.
Eddie George, quote, "What is the culture in the building? I can speak to that because I know what it was like when I was there. We had a blueprint. We had an identity. What do you want to be that's sustainable? I think that's a question for Amy, the GM, and the president. And then they have to find a coach they can be on the same page with. How are you going to build this out? How much time are you going to give this person? It's not going to happen overnight," end quote. Derek, knowing Eddie as you do, knowing his standing with the organization, what should it mean to the Titans that one of their legends is speaking out in such a way?
It should mean a lot. I think, I know that Eddie, you know, has huge, a lot of respect for that organization, and I know that organization has a lot of respect for Eddie. His name is in the Ring of Honor, for God's sake. He's this franchise's, and I'm not talking about Houston. He's this franchise's leading rusher. He led us, along with Steve and Blank, to a Super Bowl. And then he's been successful in the coaching realm. He's taken TSU. He took that TSU program, and he made it a much better program when he left. Now he's at Bowling Green University, and it seems like they are now picking up steam as well. So he has success seems to be following him. And when someone that has been a pillar of your organization for, at the time it was 9-10 years, he was your first pick in the, I think it was 96 draft. And he understands the coaching, sort of, and he's starting to really understand how to build a team. So when he's looking at it from afar, he's trying to be as respectful as possible, but also pointing out the things that are glaring, the changing of the coaches, not being patient with one coach, but understanding that this is a business and that with every change you make, you set your franchise back even further. Now, listen, Borghazi may be able to get it right, and Cam may be that dude. I think he will be, but time will tell. But typically when you make the moves that Amy has made in the last 5 years, I mean, typically your franchise suffers for that, and it suffers long time. But I think in today's football, because rules have changed and everything else with the play on field, if you get you a quarterback, that's half the battle. So the Titans hope they have a quarterback, but he has a point. Like, listen, this what you did set this franchise back. And he hope it's not that case. That's not the case. But it seems like every choice that she – or every decision she's made, it hasn't necessarily helped the team. Firing John Robinson, did it help the team? No. Firing Vrabel, did it help the team? Hiring Callahan, did it help the team? No. Hiring Rand, did it help the team? So now you're on Borgonzi. So you hope that now – they've been able to find the right person at the GM position and he can get this thing right. But the more changes you make at that level, and I'm not talking about the players, I'm talking about the coaches and GM, you set your franchise back.
The thing that jumps out to me more than anything else with those quotes, because if you didn't put a name on those quotes, they wouldn't sound too controversial, but Eddie George is not a guy that goes around trying to take shots.
Exactly.
He's not saying, give me the microphone. I got something provocative to say. Mm-hmm. I'm going to slam the team. He was careful with his words, mm-hmm. but that's Eddie George saying, you set the franchise back 10 years. 10 years. He doesn't use hyperbole. Mm-hmm. This is Eddie George saying that. That's not pick your most loudmouth sports talk show host nationally, locally, whatever. That's not that person saying that. That's Eddie George saying that. That should resonate in that building. And if it doesn't, they're asleep at the wheel. They need to look themselves in the mirror and know how they're being perceived and take that to heart. Mm-hmm. Take it to heart from Eddie George. It's one thing for the media or fans to throw some hot air stuff out there. This, to me, that should hit home for them. Say, we got to get it together. Come on. And his thing was what? Mm-hmm. Continuity.
Yes.
Give somebody a chance, because from near and far, mm-hmm. you can see it. You don't get a chance to work your way out of the hole. As soon as things are going bad, boom, they're going to make a big change and start over.
Because
and now you got a mess.
Yeah, because anybody can listen. This is not the first time that a former player has said something like this about the organization. But when Eddie says it, it's different. It's louder. I think it pierces just a little deeper. It pierces the whatever they have going on over at the Titans just a little deeper. Did you hear what Eddie said? And again, not that he said anything salacious. He just spoke his truth, like what he's seeing, and he said it in a respectful way because he understands the seriousness, but he understands sort of the vitality of it in the situation that they're going through. So he's going to be careful at how he talks about the Titans. But what he says is things that people have been saying for the last 3 or 4 years, that this team, with every move they make, it seems like a haste move. Every move they make, they set this franchise back. It was they need to have a winning team before they go into that building. Now it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. Why? Because of the changes that have been made, and we don't know how many more will be made by the time we get into that new stadium. And that's crazy to say because you only got 2 more years before you're moving to the new stadium.
So you don't think you don't think that Eddie George saying that all of these moves set the organization back a decade is an exaggeration?
I don't think it's Listen, he's.
It doesn't have to be that,
yeah,
but he's
looking at it from this standpoint because I understand what he's saying, and I've said listen, until you find your quarterback, you're going to be reaching and scratching and trying to chase the next thing, and it's not going to be there. You got to develop what you have or what you draft. But he's telling the truth. Look at the teams that consistently change, you know. Upper management, whether it's head coach, GM, supreme ruler of football, it doesn't matter. Those teams are not successful. Those teams can't maintain. What are the one team that we always talk about no matter what is who? The Pittsburgh Steelers and their consistency. How many head coaches have the Pittsburgh Steelers had in their whole existence?
You can count them on one hand.
Three. They've had three coaches. Three of them in their whole existence. That's stability. That's winning football. That's winning organizations. The Titans have had three in the last 4 years. So when Eddie says that, he doesn't mean it as a, you know, he's not waving his wagging his finger at the organization. Neither am I. Neither is any other former player that is talking. What they're saying or what we're seeing is, well, it's the truth, because with every move you've made, there hasn't been any fruit. Like, it's gotten worse.
The Steelers have had three coaches since 1969. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin. That's incredibly impressive.
Like, since before I was born. Well, since 69. When did the Pittsburgh come into existence?
They were before 69.
Yeah, they were before 69. But
yes.
When we started really watching football, three coaches since 69.
They really were not a good franchise until Chuck Knoll
took over.
When Knoll took over, that's impressive. Three coaches in however many, 56 years, 57 years?
I have to imagine that Eddie George's interview with Mike Orkin, who was on the Chase and Big Joe show earlier today, discussing this article.
Yes.
And some of the article was about his experience at Bowling Green, not to discount that, because Mike did a good job with the story. But, of course, Eddie George's comments on the Titans, those are driving the headlines.
Of course.
So I'm wondering how those comments are going over inside the Titans offices, because they're there. There is no way that Amy Adams Strunk and Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi and Burke Nihil and the other members of the Titans front office have not read these comments. So I'm wondering how they are taking it. Hearing Eddie George, his number is retired by the organization. When you think Tennessee Titans, first players that come to mind, Derrick Henry, Steve McNair, Eddie George, also Derek Mason. Mm-hmm. So Eddie George is synonymous with the Tennessee Titans franchise. So I'm wondering how the people in charge are digesting those comments today.
I'm not sure if Brinker or Borgonzi, maybe they've got wind of it, but it's like to them, they are in the day-to-day. Now, Burt Nihil and Amy Adams, that's a different story, especially Amy, because that's like, you know, Warren Moon saying something. You know, Warren said, what? Oh, wow. Okay, everybody's listening. It's the same with Eddie. Oh, Eddie said, what? Oh, okay. When not knowing, really, the whole article really was about Bowling Green and his success he's had at TSU and he's having, you know, at Bowling Green. But it was an insert in there about the question was asked about the Titans. That's because why? It means a lot in this town.
One texter, by the way, says the front office of the Titans doesn't care what Eddie George is saying.
And that's what I'm saying. Like those, like Brinker, Borgonzi, they probably don't. They probably heard it and was like, okay. Some coaches probably heard it and they were probably like, oh, man, he may be some coaches that probably play with them.
Well, I can rephrase and say Amy Adams Strunk then.
I'm sure Amy, if she has not heard them, she will see them. If she hasn't read them, she will read them or see them. Best believe she will. So to say that upper mat like Amy doesn't care, no. She cares what the fans do think, contrary to what people may believe. I think she does. But when you have a guy that is one of your, like, pillars of an organization, how it was built, he says something, then it does. Yeah, you need to listen.
I think it probably got to her for sure.
Yeah.
But this is something that I think has always been an issue for them, is because their ownership doesn't live in Nashville, never has, even though they come to the games, you know, going back to Bud Adams, they're detached. And I think it filters through. They're detached from the community in a lot of different ways. And I think it puts them in I don't know. I think it leads to situations like this. I think it contributes to their lack of
awareness.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eddie George, in an interview with Mike Organ of the Tennessean, says that the dysfunction, the constant churning of coaches and GMs in the Titans organization has set the franchise back, quote, at least a decade and maybe more. Your thoughts on that? 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction. We'll also get more into the Titans matchup this weekend against the Indianapolis Colts coming up next. The NFL Game of the Week this Sunday, Giants versus Eagles at noon on Sports Talk 830. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators versus Canucks coming up at 7 o'clock. Also be listening for the cue to call at the end of this segment, 615-737-1025. You can win a four-pack of tickets to the Tennessee Baseball Intra-Squad Game at First Horizon Park this Sunday afternoon. So if you want that four-pack of tickets, be listening for the cue to call at the end of this segment. 615-737-1025. One texter, you know how I feel about tomes when it comes to texting. I like short, punchy texts.
Yes.
Not long ones, but I will read this long one anyway.
Okay.
From an unnamed texter. Where would the talk around the Titans be if they had traded the first pick and loaded up on future picks? I fully believe Brian Callahan would still have his job, and there would be excitement around the program and what it could be. Instead, they reached to draft a quarterback that was probably about the 20th best player in the draft. Then you fire the coach they can't win because there's no talent on the roster, and the GM made a bonehead move by not getting value for the number one overall pick. Now the record would still suck right now, but you could at least see the stockpile of draft picks and young players you're building for. Instead, you have four fourth-round picks and a quarterback that probably should have gone in the second round.
I think that's harsh to say he should have gone in the second round.
He would not have gone in the second round.
But I think I would put it this way. I think the biggest concern is not what their record is right now. Mm-hmm. The biggest long-term concern is I'm not sure the ceiling for Cam Ward is what you would hope a ceiling was for the first overall pick. And that was a concern before the draft, and after this many games, I think it's a bigger concern than it was. And that doesn't mean he can't be a really good quarterback, but he's the first overall pick, and you could have had XYZ, as the caller pointed out. I'm not going to say it again. I've said it many times. You know how I felt about that. And this was my concern. And it is not Cam Ward's fault. I'm rooting for Cam Ward. I think, and everybody's saying, he's still in the fight. He's playing hard. He's practicing hard. He's going to get, I think, the most out of his ability. But the ceiling isn't freakish like you would hope a first overall pick is. To me, that's a big concern.
I think a lot of it has to do with talent around him. Again, I you see that there's something there. You see that you know, he can put together, he can sustain some things out there on the field. We're not getting a true – we are what we're seeing now from Cam is a mixture. I think we sort of lose sight of this sometimes. We are seeing a mixture of a rookie playing like a rookie, regardless of if you're drafted first overall, second overall, 15th overall, whatever. You're watching a rookie. But then on top of that, you're watching a rookie with a bad team. And then on top of that, you're watching a rookie that just got his head coach changed. And on top of that, you're watching a rookie that just got his offensive coordinator changed. But all in all of that, he's still playing rookie football. Some good, some bad. He needs to get better. But he isn't looking like things are tanking. He's looking like a guy that, okay, you put another guy around him, he's going to elevate his play. Is he to a point where he's elevating everybody else's play? Joe Burrow wasn't there his first year. Peyton Manning wasn't there his first year. There are a lot of other rookie quarterbacks that started on day one. They were not there their first year where they can elevate, the team. I'm not saying Cam is those guys. What I'm saying is that he doesn't even have a chance to be that guy right now.
You're right.
And he's
not
showing,
helping him get it to his
he's
potential.
Showing all that he can in a place that is not conducive for him to grow and grow at the rate that he needs to grow. Hopefully, McCoy is able to, you know, steer this thing back the right way, and maybe they can pick up some momentum. And if he remains the coach, great. If they still go out and choose to get somebody else, that's fine too. But at least that momentum has been built by McCoy and that coaching staff. And Cam is still growing as a player. But whether he fails or succeeds right now, you can't truly evaluate him because of he has three things on top of him before you can even get to him. Organization's bad. They just changed the head coach. They ain't got no player. I mean, not too many quarterbacks can, you know, flourish and something like that. And I understand people will say, well, that's why they should have traded away the pick and got more guys around, you know, on his organization and dealt with another a veteran quarterback or somebody else just for that year so they can have all the picks. I get that part too. But you drafted him. He's your guy. And he's shown you that he can be your guy. You just got to help him.
From the NFL, Cam Ward has just four passing touchdowns in 2025, fewest among all quarterbacks to make more than five starts in 2025. The only quarterbacks selected number one overall since 1970 with fewer pass touchdowns in their first seven career starts: Terry Bradshaw, John Elway, and Alex Smith. So Cam Ward's on a Hall of Fame trajectory as far as I'm concerned. I'm being incredibly sarcastic. Please nobody clip this and say that I am claiming that Cam Ward is going to be the next Terry Bradshaw or John Elway. One texter says, that texter makes no sense. If they traded that pick for a ton of picks, it's because someone wanted Ward, so he still goes 1-1.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. But that's what would have happened, probably.
And if it didn't,
they could have traded, got all those picks, and gotten Cam Ward.
But then if, because it seemed like Jackson Dart is playing okay. He's not great. But they're winning somewhat. New York takes Cam Ward, which they probably were going to take. And say he's doing what Jackson Dart is doing and his team is winning, what would people say? Oh, you should have drafted him. See, you should have drafted him. You shouldn't have gave him. So you can't win in a situation like this. It's like, you know, you shouldn't have did it because of look at where you're at. If it would have flipped the other way, it would have been like, well, you shouldn't have gave up those picks because look how he's playing in New York. But I understand. I get it. But let this thing play out a little bit longer, at least with the quarterback. If they start getting this franchise and this roster back to where it has been in previous years, then I think you will see a different Cam Ward. That's my belief. If it doesn't happen, then okay. But to say that he won't reach it now, right now, I mean, would any quarterback would be able to show that they were that guy under these circumstances?
One texter says, I don't care about the number of draft picks because I'm not confident in the scouts. Albeit this current class seems to be okay, but historically they have been abysmal.
We get that. We need to like have a sound effect because that exact text comes out every time this conversation comes up.
And what do we talk about?
You can't do anything about that. Yeah. There's only one way to get players.
It's not the players. It's the people
that speak. That tree over there, that tree is the only way you can have food. That tree, the fruit on that tree, that's the only food you can get.
But you know what the fans
are, well, you can't go to that tree because the last time we went to that tree, you got sour fruit. It was rotten and it didn't taste good.
Well, they're going
to
say the Titans. You got sick. They're going to say the Titans don't go back to that tree.
That is the only tree that you can get the fruit.
Willie, they ain't going to eat then. They ain't going
to
eat.
There's one way to build players. Don't tell me about that. It doesn't matter. It's
Willie,
irrelevant.
They ain't going to eat. I'm telling you.
And I take that. We know that, right? What they are saying, all the texters that say that, they're right. They have screwed up a lot of draft picks. Yeah. That's why they're here. But that doesn't mean don't go get more draft picks. If anything, get more picks. The more picks you have, the better chance of you getting good fruit.
But I guarantee you there's still a large group of people that look at this situation and say, you know what, we need – Cam is not the guy. And then you ask them why, and they say, well, the organization, I mean, he's going to be – it was the same thing with Will Levis last year. That's what they're saying. So no matter what, it's like they're not going to – the quarterback is not going to get the benefit of the doubt, or players that you would have gotten in exchange for giving up that pick wouldn't have got the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because the organization is still drafting them, so they're not going to draft the guys. So, or the team is still trying to develop the guys, and they can't develop anybody. So, again, no matter what, you know, the fan base is like, no matter what y'all do, y'all are doing it. That's why we don't think it's going to work. It's not that people that y'all have on the field. We just don't think y'all are picking the right people.
One texter says, uproot the tree. Plant a new one. Trees take a long time to grow.
And get a bunch of seeds planted. There you go.
One texter says, I want the Titans to get great defensively. I mean, don't we all?
Yeah, somewhat.
One texter says, even more concerning than anything quarterback-related is this Brownlee trade. Don't get Derek Mason started. It's counterintuitive.
Man.
To what they're trying to do. By the way, sorry we failed to mention this earlier. Legarius Sneed has been placed on injured reserve, sidelining him for at least the next four games. He suffered a quad injury against the New England Patriots last week after giving up two touchdowns.
And you know what's the saddest part about that is I don't know that anybody's that sad to hear that because he had been playing so bad.
He hadn't been playing.
He has not been playing well.
Again, you're just disappointed. I'm disappointed.
Yes, it's disappointing.
You know, that you saw a player that played really good, that was one of the best corners, the top three or four corner in the league prior to getting here. And then you get him, and it just goes downhill, and it goes downhill very fast. That's the disappointing part. You've been injured, and when you've been on the field, it hasn't been consistent.
And they traded Brownlee.
And they traded Brownlee. You want to get into that one? Unless there must have been something behind the scenes. They just didn't like
about
that
kid. Well,
there
definitely was. Yeah. But that still doesn't mean
exactly.
It was the right thing to do
exactly.
For a young player.
That dude, he's gonna. If whatever he may have had going on here, I hope it doesn't translate to him. I hope it doesn't follow him to the Jets. It seems like he's playing well. I hope that continues because that kid. He could have been a good player here. He was a young guy. You saw it in him. Yeah, he needed to clean it. He needs to clean up some of the holding that he was having. But that was a kid that was developing, and you gave him away with a secondary that was already struggling, and not a guy you paying the most money. He's on IR. Don't understand those moves.
So the starting corners on Sunday in Indianapolis are Jalen Armour Davis, and Marcus Harris.
I hope those guys do well. I really do. This
Yikes.
Is an opportunity. Yeah, this is an opportunity. But this is – I see it as – it's not so much yikes because we know what this team is. So, I mean, it's not even yikes anymore. It's just, oh, okay, it's par for course. Par for the course. But this gives them an opportunity, these young guys that they're throwing in here, this gives them an opportunity to show this team because best believe – there's going to be a lot of changes come this offseason. And this is your opportunity. No excuses. This is your opportunity to show that you belong on this team. So take it.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans who face the Colts in Indianapolis on Sunday afternoon. 615-737-1025. All right, here's that cue to call for the four pair of tickets to see the Tennessee baseball intra-squad scrimmage at First Horizon Park this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, and you will win that four-pack of tickets to the Tennessee baseball intra-squad scrimmage at First Horizon Park this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, excuse me, and we are proudly presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at BAX Homeworks. Facebook.com. D. Mays, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Taking your thoughts on the Titans as they prepare to take on the Colts this Sunday afternoon. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Luke. Luke, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think it might be more once we start aggregating everything, but let's give a year for everything. A year for trading A.J. Brown, a year back for firing Mike Vrabel, letting John Robinson go, that's 3 years. Hiring Rand, that's a year. Hiring Bill Callahan, that's 2 years. And when I saw his resume at the beginning of that Tampa Bay preseason game, I still don't know how he got his job. But I think once you aggregate everything up, I mean, it's a lot of years. And how far have you set back Cam? I mean, the guy's been sacked 30 times. So what did we do to protect him? What weapons did we get him? Are the guys getting open?
Thank you for the call, Luke. I didn't mean to jump on you there. I thought you were finished. My bad, Luke. But your point is well taken.
But he's saying aggregate. So when Eddie George is saying 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah,
last few years and tacking on.
Up. Yeah.
That's a fair theory. That's how it sounds, less like an exaggeration if you look at it that way. That's a fair point.
Exactly, because it's you know, subtracting, you know, addition by subtracting. You're adding because you're subtracting players, you're subtracting head coaches, GMs, and you're adding more years to you being closer to a winning team than not. But, again, I will say this. Not again, but I will say this. The things that they've done, it does point to a franchise pushing themselves further and further away from winning than not. But we all know in this league, if you get a quarterback one and you land that right coach, then that can expedite things a lot faster. But like Titan fans say, like Titans fans feel, they don't believe they're going to hire the right coach.
To your point, Derek Mason, one texter says, since apparently we suck at drafting, no point in getting picks. Let's just offer Jeffrey Simmons for John Harbaugh. They might actually take it.
John Harbaugh, it was great. We said something like that when all this stuff happened. I said, you want a guy like Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin, guys that they don't want to call plays. They just want to be CEOs of teams. They're leaders. You would want something like that to come into your building and be your head, or someone like that to be your head coach. But those two guys already have jobs. So the next guy is, hopefully he fits that mold. I don't want an offensive coordinator. I don't. I'm not scared of, if y'all do well, if the team does well, then I'll offer. So what? I would rather my team do well and somebody poach the offensive coordinator than me hiring a guy that's supposedly a guru as my head coach, and we got to fire him anyway. So now we got to look for a head coach and offensive coordinator.
Let's go to Dustin in Hopkinsville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin, thank you for calling. Please go ahead. Dustin, are you there? We'll get back to you, Dustin.
Yeah, Dustin, call back.
We'll get back to you, Dustin. Let's see here. One texter says, Sneed on IR eliminates a huge hole in the secondary.
Hey, listen, he was more times than not, it seems like he was more of a liability than anything else. Again, you're not available, and then when you are available, you're not playing to that level that we believed you could continue to play at, and that hasn't happened. At least it hasn't happened consistently, because I know the last time this was pointed out to him, he told the reporter, what did he say? Did you watch the rest of the game? You see the rest of the game? So at least from what I've seen, the parts that I've seen, and I've watched all of it, it hasn't been consistently good when it comes to Snead.
Let's go back to Dustin in Hopkinsville on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Dustin, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry I put y'all on hold somehow, guys.
All good.
Go ahead.
But I got a few points to make. You cut the last guy off earlier. Give me just a second. So Sunday, I believe, is going to be a bloodbath. I was ready to make a nickname for McCoy last Sunday in the first half, and I said it first, posted on Facebook, so I had the receipt. So I was going to call him the real McCoy. All right. Well, second half didn't go so good. We lost Simmons. And this big thing he's been talking about, he kept saying, and he says it weirdly, it's complimentary football. Well, I don't think we're going to see much complimentary football this Sunday. You got Simmons out. Oh, I mean, you've got a few guys that really stepped up in the second half. I can't remember their names. Was it Jahad Ward, a couple other guys? And Sweat got a few sacks. But, you know, I think the whole Jarvis Brownlee thing, they said that he didn't fit the culture that they wanted. Well, it's a losing-ass culture, so maybe you made the wrong decision. They haven't come out with anything yet to say what he did. You know what I think it is? I think they drafted a dog, and he couldn't keep his mouth shut, and he decided to start saying some things about the team that the guys, Bill Callahan and Brinker, didn't like. That's what they do. They get these players and let them go. They'd be better off to let the guys age out. Derrick Henry, pay them way too much than to trade all these guys away. Like the last caller said, and Eddie George said, us back 10 years. You can't just go get elite players and just give them away like that all the time. Sunday's going to be a bloodbath, and it's just showing why. I mean, we're full of injuries all the time, and you trade good players, and you don't tell us why.
Thank you for the call, Dustin. By the way, the line on that game, Let's see if it's changed. Nope, still Indianapolis minus 14.5.
Wow, wasn't it 14? Oh, it was always 14.
It's been fluctuating between 14 and 14.5.
It's a lot in an NFL game. You don't see very many.
Man, that's a blowout.
Jonathan Hutton said double it yesterday.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You know you're a bad team when they are giving you 14 points. Yeah, you're a bad team. But, hey, listen, this is where this organization has put themselves. It's unfortunate that after week eight?
Yes.
After week seven, you know, you don't have much good, if at all, anything to say about this team because of what they've done on the field. And that's the unfortunate part, because I think, at least I believe that I would see a better team. Not necessarily a playoff-bound team, but a better team. And we just hadn't seen that, especially not consistently. Again, they played three really good quarters of football after last week. The first two of last week and the last quarter of the Atlanta game.
Arizona
game. Yeah. So they played three quarters of good football. Beside that, it's been bad.
One texter says, Cam's ceiling has been shown already by some of the throws he has made to the worst receiving core in the league with a terrible line. The fumbles have to go, but the throws are exciting. To the texter's point, Cam Ward has done some things this season that tantalize you. Mm-hmm. Think about that first career touchdown pass to Elijah Manor. Think about some of the throws he made in that comeback against Arizona. You know that Cam Ward is talented. No one is denying that Cam Ward is talented. I know one texter earlier said that Cam Ward probably should have gone in the second round. Cam Ward was not escaping the first round of the NFL draft. You can certainly argue that he was not a typical number one overall pick in terms of talent. You can certainly make that case. But the key for the Titans is finding a way to get those plays out of Cam Ward more consistently. Mm-hmm. That starts with finding him weapons. That starts with finding a good coach. There's a lot that goes into that. I have been quite disappointed by what I've seen out of Cam Ward this season. Most of you have been. But when I see some of the plays I know he can make, it stops me from completely giving up on him.
Yeah, and I think that's what you got to understand about this team is that you can't – it's hard to truly give an assessment or a judgment of the most important player on this team when the team isn't good. Like, this team isn't good at all, and they just fired their coach. So it's hard to really give a true assessment. Have we seen some things we like? Yes. Have we seen some things he need to clear up? Absolutely. In that article, they was talking about his interceptions. The article you sent, I think it was from the Tennessean, about his interceptions, Adam.
Yes.
And I think, what, two or three of them, he has five, two or three of them were tip balls. One, he shouldn't have threw to the flat, and he didn't see the guy. It was a bad pass. And I think there was another one in there. His fumble, there's been a fumble that, you know, he got sacked. The one at the end where it fumbled, do you call that a fumble? But it was, should have been a fumble, I don't know. But he did lose the ball twice. Those things I think are correctable. He's not putting the ball in harm's way from this standpoint, throwing in the double coverage, throwing in the bad areas of the football field. He's not doing that. His interceptions, the two tip, he's a little inaccurate. The player's wide open. Those are the plays that McCoy talked about. Those plays are inexcusable. Those are slam dunks right there. You got to make those. And when you don't make them, you see what happened. Tip ball behind him, interception. So that, to me, that has nothing to do with him reading it wrong. He just needs to be more accurate. And those things, I think the Titans believe they can get corrected.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Cam Ward. Talking about this game being a bloodbath, by the way. Jonathan Taylor has three games this season with at least three touchdowns. The Titans have six touchdowns total.
Oh, wow.
And with Jeffrey Simmons unavailable, should we count on a fourth three touchdown?
They got Meatloaf. Meatloaf's in there.
Yeah.
Taking up space. Come on, Meatloaf. Step it up.
There's only so much space that Meatloaf can take up, though.
He takes up a lot.
He does take up a lot of space.
He's a wide dude.
He is a large.
There's always hope, Adam.
Star Wars night was a couple of nights ago, Willie.
Yes. Yes. There's actually Lord of the Rings. I think there's always hope.
Okay, well, I've never seen any Lord of the Rings movies.
What?
They're like 6 hours long. I'm not interested. 615-737-1025. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us coming up next as we turn our attention to the Predators and the NHL. Predators back in action tonight at 7 o'clock against the Vancouver Canucks. Elliot Freeman, he'll join us coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.